This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, so roll call. Arts and Humanities, Paul.
Here.
And he's here, Rebecca.
Oh, yes.
Here, Life Sciences, here, Rob.
Here.
Satellite.
Here.
Leo.
Here.
All right, Physical Sciences and Engineering, Casey.
Here.
Yoga.
Here.
Cody.
Here.
Jason.
Here.
Special School, Wade.
Here.
Thank you all. We do have quorum, so we would like to go ahead and move on to the next part of the meeting, which is approving the minutes. Are there any amendments to the minutes of October 7th? Any common amendments that you would like to see? Yes. Okay, so is there a motion to change your email to KML?
Yes.
Can you finish that KML?
287.
Okay, so the motion to change Casey's email to KML and Mary L287 at Cornell.edu. Is there a second?
For what it's worth, that's point of order. The official speaking court of the parliament to be sent an actual vote.
Okay. Thank you for that information. So, is there a second? Seeing none? Okay. Motion passes. And now we're going back to the minutes. Is there anything else that you would like to comment on the minutes? Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes? Thank you very much. So now we would like to continue on with our first part of the meeting, which is our presentation. Here we have Dr. Charles Barron, who is the Dean of Faculty, and Manisha, who is our student lecture trustee. They are here to present on some really cool, interesting stuff about questions.
I'll pass on the microphone. Thanks
for having us, and we're here to listen. The topic is money. Let me just say where we're coming from. So hanging up the Senate is a financial policy committee. As maybe seven or eight faculty members, mostly economics types, people who understand that kind of math. And they meet maybe 3 or 4 weeks with the provost, the chief budget person, and other experts and so on, and talk about different aspects of the budget. I sit in on those meetings, and I usually get lost at the 30-second point. And the reason is I'm a math guy, but I'm not a business math guy. And over the years, I've been watching this, and it's surprising. This is a world shortage of people who understand the dynamics of the budget process and how it works, and also understand academic direction, because they don't always align. So what we need is our educated people, grad students, undergrads, faculty, staff, who understand exactly how the budget works, and so they can engage in discussions when the topic is, hey, the budget's not working in the direction that we want it to work in. So that's kind of the setting. We had, last year in the university assembly, there was discussions that, hey, this committee should have more of this faculty. They should have members of the other constituents. So, as a way of looking at that issue, we decided to form an ad hoc committee that will interact with the financial policy committee on occasion, but will also do other other things. And the main other thing we want to do is walk out of the semester, this year, with a handy, easy-to-read document for lay people so they can understand how the dollars flow, okay? And how the dollars flow is different from when you talk about undergrad tuition. Master's programs are different. PhD programs are different still. So we want to understand all the formulas and how they work so that people can look at them and, again, understand the dynamics. So, for example, highly confidential is like, what's the tuition increase going to be next year? Well, if we have enough information and understand the processes, we can look at the ramifications for whether it's 2.5 or 2.6 or 2.7%. And then you can talk about, what are the ramifications of those decisions. So we want to be able to engage the people who really decide this stuff in intelligent and meaningful ways. So we've gone to the employee assembly, talked about, hey, what parts of the budget are mystifying to you? What parts of the budget would you like to see greater clarity? Now we're with you, and hopefully in the next week or two we'll visit the student assembly. So Manisha is on the committee, we'll now perhaps discuss some topics that, again, we're here to listen, some topics that associated with the budget that you find confusing or really feel have to understand better.
Great, thank you, Charlie. So, like Andy said, my name is Manisha. I'm a fifth year doctoral candidate in computational biology. And in the whole time that I've been here, I've had various different conversations with students that highlight a couple key issues that I can sort of think about that might be relevant to this conversation. For example, what are the factors that set for graduate students are stipends? What causes the price of the TA stipend? What sets that stipend? Right? How many graduate students can a department potentially have one semester? How do they balance that with the amount of academic dollars that they get from the college to the department level? Things like that. What are some of the things that we talked about earlier now?
Well, how does the endowment work? Often you look at a gap and say, well, why can't we, we have $6 billion sitting out there. Why can't we use it for this? Well, that would be a sample question.
Other things, how do we divvy up money between the colleges? What do colleges spend that money on? Stuff like that. So these are just some examples. I think what Charlie and I are really hoping to get today is to hear directly from students and to hear what type of problems are on your mind, what are the sort of things that you would like to have answered in a handy-dandy guide so that we can sort of approach developing this guide specifically in a way where we can answer student, faculty, staff questions. Does that make sense?
Again, it's not like... How does the university reason about stipend increases? Or how does it reason about the overhead that charges research grants? In this setting, the undergrad scene is quite well understood with formulas and so on. Sort of ditto at the research end. And when you look at all the master's programs, there's a lot of variation. Given that master's programs are increasing on campus, we really want to understand the finances of that. So again, from this where you sit, are there things that you find mystifying, which if you understood, maybe you disagree with, but at least you see how the hard choices are made?
I'd like to open it up, so
I'll
open I'm an MBA.
Exactly right. So the decisions are often distributed. You have day hall, and then you have your college and program administrators. So clarity in that regard is important. I have no answers to anything, but that's a very good point. You'd like to know who made the decision and then understand the rationale. What went through their heads when they decided this?
So something that I think is not always clear is how costs, what's the actual cost that gives to the department? So for instance, how much does a single student, graduate student, at any particular level, how if they are taking a research grant, for instance, from their professor, how does that change the math? So how that is worked out.
Right, yeah. So you don't have the tuition level, but also you brought up an interesting thing, which is to the research versus teaching thing. So undergraduate dollars are distributed based on a teaching model, but if a department brings in lots of research dollars, should that figure in that? So that kind of balance is something that really should be understood. But again, tuition, and there are various levels of tuition, graduate tuition, as I'm sure you know. A lot of you live off the same tuition rates that the undergrads have. Of course, it's behind the scenes, which is if you're funded by research or TA ships, you actually don't see that. You don't actually walk to the bursar's office with a check and so on. So, again, how one reasons about tuition increases is important. And again, the undergrad scene, the numbers are bigger, the formulas are more crystal clear, but how much grad students cost is something to tell more.
That's particularly interesting to clarify. Not just like what is it costing for tuition and stuff, but if students are opting into healthcare and the different healthcare options that they often choose to take the dental plan, how much is sort of allotted, how is that money allotted?
So fee, you're talking sort of in the fee, the category of fee for various important services.
If you really useful to know some of the justification for several universities' extraordinarily expensive employees, like our $2 million a year financial officer and the multi-million dollar salaries of some Bob Cornell doctors, when you hear arguments from the administration about the inability to pay for things like new healthcare providers and that sort of thing, you get 20 for the cost of one financial advisor, you question the university's choice.
Good point. So you brought up Cornell, the medical school, which is really almost a totally separate thing from us. When we talk about our domain that we're looking at here, it's pretty much Cornell Tech and the Ithaca campus. Now, but of course, the salaries of administrators, which is part of your comment, is an issue. How do you justify that? So, but where would you draw the line? So the people on the third floor of State Hall have probably pretty pretty good salaries. So is that something you feel should be part of the scene?
I mean, it's nice to hear justifications for all administrators, especially when we're told things like the gym membership allotment needs to be cut, or, other benefits. We can't afford dental for all grad students, right? Well, we can afford these things, and yet we are having some expenditures that are, like, perhaps don't seem justifiable. We need to see these justifications.
The big, when you look at tuition increases, a lot of that is driven, a huge part of the conversation there is actually faculty salaries, for example, and staff salaries, and how do you reason about that? You get into discussions about, you want to be competitive with your peers and so on. So I guess some guidance, when you're sort of saying some guidance, some insight into, the high-paying administration. Okay, that's a good point.
I have Alex.
So I would be interested not necessarily in numbers, but in where in the process would be the most effective way for grad students to voice their opinion.
Okay.
Like, obviously, at some point, there's a decision made about X, but it's not very useful to be behind in the seat before it happens. Maybe it's early in the process so you can guide where it's going. And I'd be really interested in hearing how early before something
that's a standard comment for all of shared governance, right? You want to be engaged not at the tail end of a decision, but as it goes along.
Yes, the timeline of how it's going to be.
Right. Like, for example, like what's going down in the, various decisions are rolled out in the spring. When did you start thinking about the stipends?
Was it
or when?
A year ago? Was it?
Right. Yeah. Again, I feel the more we're, that's an important thing to acknowledge and pay attention to, which is the timeline, but also we need, including myself, educated lay people who can participate in these things not just have a PowerPoint presentation and then, well, maybe a few questions, but to really understand things before the presenter comes to town.
Hi. So I'm new to Cornell, but this is not my first grad school program. My background is there. Long story, we'll get there in a minute. Now, I am curious, at least with respect to the funding model, or at least like how graduate students get assessed for tuition, because I know what the tuition grade that's listed is. However, I also know that NIH and NSF actually set limits on what they fund for graduate students. So I'm really just curious. Like that difference between what I know that NSF or NIH said, this is how much we pay for a graduate student, and how much Cornell charges. I get half of it just moving papers around.
Let me just pause right here. So like the major funding agencies have windows or upper bounds probably on tuition, and you'd like us to understand what those upper bounds are and how we set our own tuition. So the impact.
Or also like, and then how graduate students who are funded, like where the difference is, because obviously tuition here is about 50 some a year, plus stipends are about 30. That's 80 something a year, but also when the upper limit is X, like where's the quote unquote shortfall?
Right. So how we pay attention to the constraints imposed by especially the major funders of research is something we can look at. Different people. Yeah.
I have a question.
No, sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. Yeah, you can.
Is it ready?
Okay, cool. I was wondering about at what level or scale graduate students look for resources to institutionalize graduate-led initiatives that they want to be funded. I'm only peripherally involved in this, but there's diversity for plant biology, entomology and ecology, evolutionary biology is incredibly effective at bringing diverse students to Cornell at a pretty low cost, graduate students. And so I know that the numbers that are now looking for ways to get it permanently funded, people think that is so effective.
So currently, these are internally funded.
Currently, it's being funded year to year by a past
official. The department sort of.
Oh, okay.
But it's are there any programs university-wide funding pools or health-wide funding pools? Or it's just sort of unclear where they were funding pools.
Okay. I have no answers to anything, but we're taking notes on these things to look into greater detail. Yep.
I have
a So we had a discussion at our last PSA meeting about, institutional knowledge and understanding how TCAT memberships are set or how GM memberships are set and why those aren't covered. And I was wondering if you had any plans to kind of bring that into how your handbook, because I think a lot of people have questions about that and they really want those things, but I think it's hard when Cornell doesn't really make that.
So, in other words, Cornell comes to you charging you fees for certain outside services, and you want to know why aren't they folded into your main tuition bill or stipend or whatever, and then how they reason about that. So if we're going to charge you so much for using the bus, how do we figure that out?
Right, you pay your tuition and fees, but then that's separate, gym membership and the unnecessary, or the fees that aren't required.
Right. Right, yeah. So it's also easy to lump everything in tuition, but tuition, stipends, mandatory fees, optional fees to make your life nice.
I have
So the general question here is really, let's understand how endowments work, all right? And you brought up this, their tax angles, their rumblings in Congress about taxing certain things with foreign tax support, understanding that whole theme. And related to that is KL. We have the endowment, how much are we going to pull out of that and use for expenses this year? So that's another huge decision that's made.
I think also what we use that money for. What specifically does the endowment money that we pull out get?
I have exhausted the list. Is there anyone else who would like to ask a question?
Okay, well, very good. Thanks a lot. The committee website, there's not a whole lot of detail in there yet, but as we go on, everything will be totally visible. You'll see the issues we're dealing with. You'll see rough drafts of things all along the way. And I hope that when we get to March or so, that we have something very concrete that will be useful to you all. So thanks an awful lot for these questions, these topics that we should certainly consider being more deeply.
Thank you very much, Professor Adamo, and many thanks. So we'd like to move on to the next part of our meeting, which is the division breakout. And that's what we'll tell you a little bit.
Okay, so the humanities will have to do with Andy today, but in the same place as usual, so over there. The social sciences will be with Michael, who's over on this side. The life sciences will be in the middle with Lewis, or Leo, sorry, Leo Lewis. And then the physical science will be with Stella, and it'll be outside of the room. And the professional schools will be with me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What is
Thank you. Thank you.
all three of us. You get Victoria here. We can actually break out the gold ball. Oh, I
like. Undergrad at the University of Washington. I was a
liberal arts undergrad who ended up going to engineering for graduate school, well, working in engineering labs and then going. My first engineering degree is from the University of Virginia, Wahoo Wah, and yes, I am a cult, I'm totally into the cult of UVA, we can go about that later. I was a PhD student of 10. I quit the PhD program. If you ever want to hear a story about a horrific advising faculty program, let me tell you. I'd be glad to tell you. I've worked in consulting. I'm here with the intent of trying to do a, I am here with the, doing a second master's with the intent to follow on to a PhD, but I wanted to feel out the place yet. And I'll admit, y'all, Cornell has pretty much sold me on trying to find, see if I can stay here longer. At the University of Washington as well as at UVA, I was active in student government in a massive way. I have a history of being on the financial committees. For somebody who likes who's an engineer, I do like the money. I'd like to think I can represent MN students well. It's a unique and disparate cohort of people, and a fair number of them are international students. So a lot of them probably aren't invested, but there's a joke about engineers. How do you know who's the extroverted engineer who looks at your shoes when he talks to you? On the other hand, I'm actually way more extroverted than that, and I swear I will probably find a way to meet every single one of the other students to bring issues and concerns, but I also reach out to various field advisors and anything else. I'm generally pretty friendly, not universally so. I am an engineer. I do have my moments. But other than that, I think I'm not too much of a pain in the ass, and I think I would be able to contribute reasonably well. So that is my spiel. I hope every single one of you will vote for me, and if you don't, feel that you can't, I will understand. But please, vote Eric.
Thank you very much, Eric. Do you have any questions for Eric?
Please, questions. I'll answer almost any question you all have to ask. It doesn't even necessarily have to be how I represent my cohort, even though I could probably do that reasonably well, too.
Any questions?
How do you spell your name?
E-V-E-R-E-T-T. I would say just like the city, but that reference only works in Washington and Massachusetts, and I've learned to know that most people don't know that. Fantastic. Where?
Singapore.
Beautiful. I'm from that.
Oh.
Well, in short. Yeah. Okay. We can talk outside here.
Yeah. Any other questions for Heather? Thank you very much, Heather.
I can go outside. If you want to badmouth me in my absence or what?
No, that won't be necessary. Thank you. So you can write Everett's name on the ballot, and you can also write no confidence. That's also an option. So we'll go ahead and do that now.
Yeah. I'll come around and pick them up when you're ready.
Thank you, Everett.
No problem. Thank you very much.
So we have two other spots. We have masters at large. So this is any master student who would like to take up the voting. Please, like Matt said, Mark, do we have any master students who would like to take the decision and would like to nominate themselves or someone else? I don't see anyone. Do we have someone in my all hearts who would like to nominate themselves for the voting, please? Or someone else? I don't see anyone. You will really see vacant, so tell your friends if they're interested in getting involved. I think we might be able to continue on with the meeting while Alexa collects the ballots. So let's go ahead and go. We're going to go ahead and start the meeting Q&A. And we will start with executive committee. Alexa, do we have any updates from the executive?
Oh. Son of a 4th of July mirrors.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm a gimp. It sometimes happens. I was trying to step over it.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So
So no executive committee. We'll continue with the meeting. Do we have any? Anyone on Zoom? Can they hear us?
Probably, right?
Hi, we can hear you. Or I can hear you.
Oh, is there anyone on Zoom who would like to nominate themselves for Master at Large? Or am I wrong?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so we will continue to go with operations. Victoria is not here, but her husband is at the onboarding from the new chair starting last week. And she will continue to get feedback and she will send out that information. And we are currently working on staffing and external committees as well. Do we have, so that's the update for operation. Communications, Taylor, do you have an update? Okay, no update. Appropriations, James, it's not here. Okay, and I don't see an update from him. Finance, exit?
We're working on getting monthly health sessions going for sort of budget and resources in general. So the first one will be staffed by Terry. Terry Boswell gave the presentation. And it will be on Tuesday, October 29th from 12 to 1 in Day Hall 1. And we will try and publicize that.
Excellent. What was the time on that?
Yeah, from 12 to 1.
12 to 1.
In Day Hall.
Perfect. Thank you so much. These are health sessions for campus groups and budgeting.
Right.
Any other updates from the Finance Commission? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We will move on to student advocacy. Darren, you have another?
Yeah, student advocacy will be this week on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. In the Big Red Barn. This Wednesday, 2 o'clock, Big Red Barn, come. There's lots to discuss about what kind of things we want to advocate this semester and year, and also organizing a town hall so we can find out what other people who aren't in GSESA want to have advocated. Big Red Barn, 2 o'clock Wednesday.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Dennis?
Yes. Yes, I'll figure out some food.
Get that man a you get all.
I'll buy you a beer too. Figure it out.
Do we have anything from Dick?
Oh, yes. I know he wrote something in the.
recently here said he doesn't feel well, but 105 students, faculty, and staff had the October 11th Building Allyship event with Susan Mauer. The next event and series will be on November 12th from 11:30 to 1 o'clock at 2:25 with the title Talking About the Heavy Curriculum Part 1. We will focus on the heavy curriculum for international students, typically in the U.S. graduate and professional students. That announcement will be coming out soon. They are also planning a community conversation about free speech in Hong Kong. Tentatively scheduled for October 22nd, but it may be postponed. And then they are also co-sponsoring the Diversity and Inclusion Restaurant as well, which will be held on November 9th, and tickets will be sold at the Big Red Barn or CCIS or through the OIS.
Thank you, Alexa. That was on behalf of this. If that was too much for you to remember, you can find it on the video. Thank you. We would like to move on to programming. Can you please let me know if you prefer?
So right now we're working on organizing the grad night out. Like some time after Thanksgiving break. We're working on finishing up the details on that. We're meeting tomorrow at 1:30 at the RP and days is coming out.
Can you remind us what a grad night out consists of?
It's just, you know, mixing and mingling. It's basically like a BRB mixer, but off campus.
Thank you very much.
I can't make that hot, but I still like to talk to you about it.
Okay. Any other questions for me? Okay, thank you very much. Faculty awards, you have another one?
No.
Okay, thank you. Jonathan Moore.
Jonathan Springs.
Exactly.
general committee, both Mo and Becca are not here, and I don't see an update from them. Do we have an update from Jackson?
I'll just say, hope you're all checking announcements on Monday night for more than I can tell you. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. You'll probably hear soon from the person heading up the search committee for a new dean, looking for student members on that committee. Okay. But that may be repetitive or something.
Okay, thank you very much, Dan. Do we have anything from the UPCI?
Yeah, so the one update is after last meeting, I sent out to all field reps and voting members a link to send for feedback on the first draft. So if you haven't done so already, please send that out to your field.
Thank you very much. Is Jeff here? Or Logan? Jenny? No?
You're here.
Sure. Okay, university assembly, no office. No office. So that concludes our community Q&A. So I'd like to move on to the next part of the So I'd like to announce the winner. We have the results of the election. Thank you, everyone, for participating. Everett, congratulations. You are the new master of
that. Ron, thank you. If I do, we put up a dump tank and feel free to
focus. Congratulations, thank you.
Gracias, Mayor.
Okay, now that. So now I'd like to take it to the open forum. I have an announcement. So the Big Red Barn and the effort to go green is setting up a system where they would like for you to bring your own containers to serve the beer in. So the way that's going to work, they're going to have four regular cups, and then they're going to fill those cups, and then they're going to give them a container, a mason jar, a mug, whatever, and then you get to not use less cups in that.
Can you buy cups there for those of us who don't have appropriate wear?
I don't think so, but even something as simple as a water bottle would be.
I was just talking to the bar manager about this last week. They do not have anything for sale right now. But, so you might ask, why would I go through this effort to bring my own cup? They can serve you more than one beer into the cup if it will fit that. So if you get like a big sign, you can get more than one at a time. There's no barrier to that. So that could be a reason to bring your own cup, because you don't have to carry a bunch of cups around if you want more than one beer per
month. Remember the class brew way?
That is a good point, but it's not a
trick. It's true, yeah. $1 per original cup size.
For the morning grad write-ins, they like my coffee, right? But I was told that we can't use our mugs for that coffee. They want us to use the mugs they're not acceptable. Should I send them an email about this, or is it
after doing this for what, 2 or 3 years now, we've heard recently that they weren't giving you refills and wouldn't let you bring your own mug because it was more coffee. And I said, the graduate school is paid for this, just will pay for that. So I think they now should have it worked out, unless it was this morning they told you that.
No, it was last week.
But what is coffee plus the Big Red Barn pay for now? Maybe I should say this, but they're charging my budget 35 cents a cup.
What? Oh, sorry.
I don't drink coffee, so we're giving you 40 years worth of the coffee that I have as a session. So if that's still a problem, let me know, because we've told them, let you use your own mug and give as many refills as you want. They just need to keep a can of it, so they'll charge. And we've decided to stop saying it's free coffee, but it's being paid for by somebody else. Because they're not giving away free, and they're not paying.
Thank you. question, am I the only one? If you have something to say, raise your hand. Put your hand on the speaker, sir. Go.
So, this
talk
is the division breakout. Do you have any concerns about Cornell Health? Who was the person to talk to about this?
As far as.
Not really specific questions, but I think not like stuff that you talk to Cornell Health, but more, for example, how the appointments work and general concerns.
Okay, we do have someone in my. I don't know if this would fall under staff. If there's a. Already established relationship with Cornell Health and their administration, but we can look for the administration. Jan, do you have someone in mind, or we can get back to you with this information?
Are you looking at me?
Yes, if you have any information on Cornell Health, if you have any questions about general questions.
Cornell Health reports to my department. Correct. Isn't that right? Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Okay.
So we could contact this office.
I actually believe that's correct.
Oh, good. There are also graduate students who serve on a health policy setting committee. I don't know who they are, if they've been appointed for the year.
The student health for the graduate board, yeah.
And in the graduate school, Jason Thompson, who is the associate dean for administration, is the liaison to Cornell Health. You want me to give you his email address?
I think for everyone.
Yeah, so don't. Joel, as far as my policies and like the fee that we pay, there is the, that's not, okay, if there's something that's convenient in November for that. So anyone interested in that, let us know. If you want to work on policies, then come to them. Any other questions or updates or comments for open forum?
Oh, yeah. Just out of curiosity, do people think this room is a good room for meetings? I mean, I don't know those are not yet, but like, do people think that like the position is working, not working?
I split. I mean, generally speaking, I think it's good for like for anybody who's not for anybody else. I will say though, with like somebody who walks the cane. Dealing with these stairs is a monumental pain in the purse. So, there, not so great. But, I mean, generally speaking, it's a lot better than some of the other meeting spaces I've had in previous city government. So, not exactly.
Anyhow. Okay. If you have any other comments or questions about the room or anything, please feel free to reach one of us. Any other announcement or anything? Yes, there you go.
So there's a tiny
bit of
Applecris.
Okay. So feel free to help yourself to the tiny bit of Applecris. So I'd like to go on to the next part of the meeting with the
administration.
I'll move. Okay, we're going to move to Mr. Durkin. Does that make sense? If not, okay. Meeting with the Durkin. So much like to you, remember.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.